This is not going to be a normal sermon. This is going to be a sermon where I get to ask you a question, okay? If con is the opposite of pro, then is Congress the opposite of progress? I'm just wondering. I need help because I don't quite understand, and I got to give enough room here. Yep. Just to give you an idea of what we're dealing with here, we're dealing with the federal government that is in control. What sphere of influence do they have? If I look at all these here, we have religion, family, education, business, government, media, and entertainment. I would say the government probably has the most influence over all of those, where I would say religion and family should have influence over the others, but it seems like government is much larger and in control of things. And I have a story to tell you. Three contractors are bidding to fix a broken fence. Now, Mitch, you might be able to relate to this real good. At the White House, one is from Chicago, another is from Tennessee, and a third is from Minnesota. All three go with a White House official to examine the fence. The Minnesota contractor takes out a tape measure and does some measuring and then works some figures with a pencil. Well, he says, I figure the job will run about $900, $400 for materials, $400 for my crew, and $100 profit for me. The Tennessee contractor also does some measuring and figuring, and then he says, I can do this job for $700, $300 for materials, $300 for my crew, and $100 profit for me. The Chicago contractor doesn't measure or figure, but leans over to the White House official and whispers, $2,700. The official, aghast, says, you didn't even measure like the other guys. How did you come up with such a high figure? The Chicago contractor whispers back, $1,000 for me, $1,000 for you, and I will hire the guy from Tennessee to fix the fence. Done, replies the government official, and that, my friends, is how new stimulus plan will work. We're talking about government here, right? A thief stuck a pistol in a man's ribs and said, give me your money. The gentleman, shocked by the sudden attack, said, you cannot do this. I'm a United States congressman. The thief said, in that case, give me my money. Yeah, I would say that is. And with that, let's move on to the sermon. There's some other jokes there, but I think that was good enough. That kind of gets us in the idea of what's going on here. From Scripture, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy in his first letter to Timothy that we should pray for all those in authority over the people. So if you would turn with 1 Timothy in chapter 2, starting in verse 4, let's see what Paul says to Timothy about government. Give everybody a chance to get there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in the first verse. Everybody's almost there. I'll start reading as we're finishing pages here. Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2, in the first verse, it says, Paul says, first of all then, I urge that entreats and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all goodness and dignity. Excuse me. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Paul here is saying that we need to be under authority of the governments that are over us. God placed the government there. And we have a very unique situation in the world because what we have is a government by the people, for the people. As Pastor Rich had said earlier, this world has kings and dictators and people who impose authority over their people and abuse them. That wasn't the way it was supposed to be here in America. America is the great experiment. When our founding fathers put this whole thing together and said, we're going to become a nation and we're going to govern ourselves. They didn't want a king. They didn't want a potentate, and they didn't want a tyrant. So they put together this government to ensure freedoms and liberties and to grow a nation. And they did. This is the greatest nation that has ever been on this planet in the history of the world. We have done more as the United States of America than all those other nations. We put a man on the moon. But even more important, we built hospitals. And we sent missionaries out. And we changed the face of this planet to the point that people are risking their lives to get here, to be in this nation. Why? I ask you, why? Because of the freedoms we have, the God-given freedoms that we have, that are guaranteed in our Constitution, that we live out each and every day. Think of the freedoms that you have. You can go shop in any store for food. You're not told that you have to go over here and purchase at a high, high price gruel. This is all we have. This is all you're going to get. We can go to Walmart or Giant or Wise's or Costco. There is a whole myriad of places you can go. You can go on vacation. You can get in a car and you can drive just about anywhere in this nation. And you can go on vacation and spend time with your family and your loved ones, knowing that you're free to come and go. And relatively safe, so to speak. Relatively safe. There's other places out in the world where if you step outside your village or your town and get into some place where you're not normally there, you could end up dead or kidnapped. Mitch, you've been probably all over the world. Are there places that are dangerous? Yes, there are. Paul writes in Romans and instructed his readers that they should be subject to the government authorities. So if we turn to Romans chapter 13, starting in the first verse, Paul writes this letter, to the Roman church in Rome, the governing authority of that time. And Rome was very strong. They had an incredible army. They had gone in and just taken over places. But then once they conquered it, they instituted a set of laws. And they built roads. And they allowed people to live relatively free under their subject. But Paul says to the church there, and here he's speaking from chapter 13, first verse, he's speaking about how we should be subject to the government. He says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not the cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Government is supposed to take care of security. When people do things wrong, the government is there with policemen, and I'm looking not just at the federal government, but local government, because that's where the policemen get their charge from, to keep order, to watch over the populace. I know there used to be a saying on the side of the car, to protect and serve. I'm not sure that's there anymore. Okay? It's not. That's why I haven't seen it. But that's what they were there for, to protect and serve. To protect us from people who would do evil and harm to us. I would like to look at some of the fears of influence, the spheres of influence government has in our lives. The three I have chosen are the military, liberty and freedom, and justice. Would you turn to the Psalms 33, starting in verse 12, while I talk, and we'll let you get there. Men and women who serve the armed forces are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, giving their lives to protect their nation and to help maintain peace in the world. You know, every Sunday we pray for our military people. We pray for the men and women who are overseas in harm's way, and they are definitely in harm's way. We pray for them. Why? Because they need God's divine protection. There are a lot of dangerous places in the world, horrible places, where there's people with an ideology that hate freedom, absolutely despise freedom, cannot stand freedom, and they will do anything to take away a person's freedom. And freedom is a precious, precious thing. And I feel sometimes that we don't realize we have it because we live in such a free land. Like I said, we can come and go as we please, generally, for the most part. We can shop where we want. Generally, our streets, at least in this area of Lebanon County, is free. We don't have to worry too much about rioting or looting. Other places in the world, as I'm preaching here, this goes out into other places, you might not be as free or as safe. In the Psalm 33, starting in the 12th verse, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them all, He who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in You." At one time, there would be prayers given up if an American army was going to war. Can you imagine how many people were on their knees praying during World War II for all those men and women that not only went overseas, but they went into the Pacific and they did the job, the horrendous job of dying for a nation, putting their lives on the line so that freedom would not be snuffed out in this world. And I use World War II because that was the last great big world war. There was absolutely, positively, Don't let me lead you the wrong way. But I don't believe there was any nation in World War II that was not involved in some way. That was the last big war. That was the war that was going to take freedom from the earth. If Hitler and Mussolini and Japan, I don't remember the emperor's name, if they would have had their way, we would all be subject to their nations and put under slavery. But yet this nation rose up, and with the hand of God, fought back a terrible evil. So we need to pray for our government, especially for our military, not just here at church, but in your home life, when you say prayers, when you get down in the evening before you go to bed and you thank God for what you have, your house, a place to sleep, food in your refrigerator, safety for your children. You need to remember the men and women who fought and died to secure that freedom. And it all comes about through the nation, our national government, that orchestrates all that, that puts the military together, organizes them into the 4-5 branches of the military. That is what our government is for. That is why they are there. They do the things that we can't do as a small community. I mean, we could probably raise up a militia here in Lebanon County. Who would like to join the militia? We'll get our squirrel guns out and our pistols, okay, and we're going to march off to war. Probably wouldn't work very well, okay? But the government helps facilitate those things. The next thing I'd like to look at is liberty and freedom. And if you would like to, turn to Proverbs 28 and verse 18, and I'm going to read a little bit and talk a little bit. Liberty and freedom are the most important of the 7 spheres of influence involves the government and politics. People around the world are willing to risk their lives to get here. Why? Because we have something that other places in the world don't have. Well, let's see. England probably has a degree of freedom. But America has the most freedom, or at least it used to have the most freedom. And it seems like that's being eroded. So I wanted to touch on that a little bit. Liberty and freedom. Where does liberty and freedom come from? True liberty and freedom. Bob. From God Almighty. I knew Bob would have the right answer. From God Almighty. What other being, okay? And I hate to use that word, but how do you describe God? A person of 3 personalities who is totally free. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. There's no place in the universe you can go and not find God. He is the one truly free entity. And I'm struggling up here because how do you describe God?
I mean, we describe him as love and holiness and righteousness, but he's also completely free. He will live forever. As much freedom as we have, okay? We're not free from death. We're going to die someday. We always have that kind of hanging over us. And us Christians know that when we do die, we will go to heaven to be with God, who is truly free, and he will give us freedom. And the people who do not accept Jesus Christ will be in eternal bondage. They will not be free. They will be separated from his holy presence forever. So freedom and liberty that we enjoy in this nation come from God. The source is from God himself. Our forefathers understood that. When they said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." All the documents that describe our nation and how it was put together and what those people thought and what they were doing to bring this nation about, God was involved in it. Because they understood that only true liberty and freedom come from God. And they said it was self-evident that all men, now it doesn't say women in there, but when we use the term men, we're looking at human beings. They didn't forget you women. You're involved in that. Men and women were created equal. God created, and they understood that. And our government is moving away from the thought that God exists. God has a purpose for each one of our lives. God has a purpose for this nation and all the people in it. This great nation came about, and all the things that we have done, all the great technological advances, all the wonderful humanitarian advances that have occurred in the world because of this nation was because men and women were free to dream. To dream to become missionaries, to dream to become pastors, to dream to be members of a congregation that wants to go out into the world and make it a better place. We had the freedom. We have the freedom to do that. I ask each and every one of you, while the freedom still exists, write your congressmen, write your senators, tell them how you feel. The reason that we are in such a pickle and a mess as this nation is because good Christian men and women have shrunk back from political office. We as Americans must remember that the freedoms and liberties we enjoy are gifts from God, and that they can be taken away if we turn our backs on the one who has bestowed them upon us. If we read back through the history of the nation of Israel, what happened when they forgot God? The vineyards were growing and they became fat and wealthy. And God said, when that happens, you'll turn your back on me, you'll forget me, you'll walk away. And then calamity came, and that whole nation was taken away into captivity. I'm not saying that's going to happen to America, because I don't know the future. I don't have a prophetic word of where we're going. But when I look around at our nation, I see the erosion of our liberties and freedoms. I see where this nation is moving towards the moral decay, the anything goes attitude. And I worry for my grandchildren. I worry for my children too. But I wonder how much time is left to turn from that path to turn back to God and say, forgive us, for we have strayed. There's so many people in our government that are atheists. They don't believe. There's no such thing as God. I can't find it on a test tube. I can't measure it with a voltmeter. So God doesn't exist. And when you get into that mindset that God doesn't exist, there's no morals and there's no judgment upon me. I get to do anything I want. Power corrupts. Total power is total corrupting to a human being. You give somebody enough rope, they're going to hang us. Because I have all the power I want. We must always remember that the nation is steered by men who are voted into office. Men and women who are voted into office. And unless men and women possess the high moral Christian character, they will turn the nation down the wrong path. We see it happening. It's been happening. I'm going to be 58 in about 17 days. 58. So I'm not real old, but I'm not real young. And this is not the same nation I remember growing up as a teenager. And in 32 short years. 32 years ain't that long. I mean, it might seem long to us, but 32 years in the life of this nation is not very long. Look how much has changed. I want you to think about that. Marion, you know, how many things have changed since you were a teenage girl? Ruth Ann, Daniel, how many things have changed? I look around the room here and I look for people. I can even look at us younger. I'm going to put myself in the younger group now. I'm stepping out of the older group into the younger group. How many things have changed in our culture just in the last 5 years? It is frightening what has changed. And it happened so quickly. I mean, 5 years, look how much has changed. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 28. I'm in the Psalms, so I have to move to Proverbs here. Oop, too far. 29, I'm sorry. Proverbs 29, starting in verse 18. And I see this is the problem for our nation right now. And as we read here in Proverbs 29, starting in verse 18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision. Where there is no vision. What vision do we have for this nation now? Where's our nation going? Who is crafting the vision that is moving our nation? Soon we're going to have a presidential election. I'm not telling anybody who to vote for. I'm just telling you what I feel about it. It seems like we're voting for the lesser of two evils. That's where I see us. I'm scared and worried for whichever one gets into office, which way they're going to steer this country. On one hand, we have a socialist, which I can't understand why people are still after socialism, because it doesn't work. They've tried it all over this planet, Russia being one of the largest ones, and look at the mess they made of their people and how many of their own people they killed when socialism started. And then the other side, we have a business tycoon. That's how I'll describe him. A business tycoon, okay? And as we know in history of this nation alone, businessmen aren't always willing to give the freedoms to their employees. So if that certain person would get in as president, would he consider all of us as employees? That sort of a mindset. I just don't know. Where there is no godly vision, the people are led to destruction. Without God, there's only destruction and waste. Without God and His laws and His morals and His character, okay, and His love, what do you think this planet's going to look like? It would not be a very nice place. And they're going to get a taste of it after the rapture occurs and the church is delivered from this planet. There's going to be 7 years of the Great Tribulation when everybody's going to get to do exactly what they want to do. Satan will be enthroned as the king of this planet, and everything's going to run amok. Amok. Who likes muck? Do you know what muck looks like? It's the stuff that's at the bottom of your pool. It's that green, slimy stuff that you don't want to touch. So when everything runs amok, there's going to be muck to deal with all over this world. The last point I wanted to look at is justice. Justice. We hear a lot about justice. We need justice for the downtrodden. We need justice for the people who are being picked on. We need justice for the poor religious groups that are misunderstood. It seems like this country is moving in such a direction that they want to give justice to everybody but the Christian. I don't understand that. We're the ones saying, we love you. Our Savior is telling us to love even the people that oppress us. We're to love. Okay? But in order to have justice, you have to have a set of moral laws. They can't be haphazardly thrown in there and then next week go, well, we don't like that one. We're going to take that one out because it doesn't fit what we want to do. So where does justice and laws come from? They must come from a perfect being. Because if I write laws, I'm going to write them that benefit me. And we've seen it throughout history. Kings write laws to benefit themselves, and the widows and the orphans get run under the horse's hooves of the king. Human beings are like that. We're going to write a law that benefits me, because if I'm writing the law, I'm going to make it work for me. Sorry about you, Bob. Better luck next time, buddy. This law is not going to be good for you, but it's good for me. So where do we get the basis of law? Because without law, there can be no justice. Let us turn to Exodus chapter 20. Ah, there it is. And I'm going to read through these because it's very important that we understand that the Ten Commandments, even though our government says it's not, that's not where it came from, our laws and stuff, but all the true and fair laws that are written, true and fair laws, come from the Ten Commandments. From there, everything springs forth, the thought of justice and law. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath for the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters or your male or female servants, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I'm going to stop there for a moment. The first two commandments concern God, how our relationship is with God. The next eight, now concern our relationship with human beings. Here are the laws, the general laws of our nation. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let's see. Let's go down that here. The first two, well, the way things work nowadays, sometimes you have to work on a Sunday because your employer says you're going to, or you can look for another job. Generally, you can use the Lord's name in vain in public or any place else because we have free speech, and to limit anybody's speech is a wrong thing. We're taking that out of context. Honor your father and mother. I think that one's been broken. You shall not murder, okay? Don't murder because you might get caught. You can get away with it, then you go ahead and murder, especially if you have enough money to pay a good lawyer. You may get away with it. So, you should not commit adultery. Now, that one is blatantly disregarded. There's websites out there where you can have an affair. They'll help arrange it. So, it seems like all the laws of this great nation are just arbitrary. People just, well, you know, if I don't get caught at it, and I get away with it, I'm scot-free. See, the thing they don't understand is in their wisdom of technology and we can't measure God, so he doesn't exist, he does exist. And even though you may get away with it here, you will stand before him someday and give an account of everything in your life. And we have stopped teaching that in our schools. We have stopped teaching that there is a God and there are laws and absolutes. And because we have stopped teaching that, probably that started back in my time. I'm going to say about 1972, because I graduated in 1977. And that stuff was already being taught. It was being introduced in the high school curriculum. Okay? If you took a philosophy class, they were saying, well, you know, there is really no God, and there's no absolutes, there's no right and wrong except what's in your eyes. Well, if my eye is only on me, and I get to determine what's right and wrong, I think I want your house, Bob. I'm just going to take your house, you can't have it anymore because I'm more powerful than you, and I'm going to take your house. Is that okay? Huh? Take the bills, too. No, I'm going to actually send you the bills, I'm going to keep the house. And Eva, I need you to clean the house, so Bob's leaving, but you're staying. You have to clean the house. I'm going to bring all the kids down and put them in your house and just let them do what kids do. And you have to take care of it because I said so. Is that right? Why is that not right? I'm God in my own eyes, right? That's what they're teaching with that philosophy of there is no absolutes, there's no right and wrong, so everybody gets to be their own little God, and whoever's more powerful in their own little God, in their own little godhood, they get to do what they want, up to a point, until you run into somebody who's a bigger God, which is kind of where the government's going. So in the end, here's what we need to do. And all this that I have looked at, and all that I've taught you and told you and brought to your light somewhat, and you all see it. You all see what's going on in our world, in our nation. The most important thing is you need to pray for your government. You need to pray for those officials, because only if God moves in their hearts can they be changed. No change occurs in the human heart unless God moves in there and moves his spirit through there and fashions that heart of stone into a heart of flesh that can feel. Because generally, for the most part, left to your own devices, please don't shake your head no, because I'm a human being too, left to your own devices and given enough money and power, you'll become a monster. You'll become a monster unless your heart has been changed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Unless. And we all here are saved. So we look to God for our moral guidance. We look to God for justice. You may not get justice here on this planet in your lifetime, but you will get justice in the afterlife. So we need to pray for all these. We need to pray for our churches and our pastors. We need to pray for our family and our family members. We need to pray for the education system, that it would be reformed and that we could go back to the Christian morals that made this great nation. We need to pray for our businesses, that people who run businesses will create jobs so that men and women can work and take care of their families. We need to pray for our government, that they would stop going down this path they're going on, and that they would turn back to God and say, this is where our true authority comes from God. This is where our true laws come from. They come from God. This is where everything that we have comes from God. We need to pray for them and all these fears here. And government is exercising more power and going out and touching more things than ever, in all places. Would you please rise with me and pray? Father in heaven, I ask your divine intervention upon this congregation, that you would fill their hearts with the desire to pray for all these things that we have been discussing the last couple of weeks, to pray for the situations in their lives, to pray for their government. Father, we ask that you raise up godly individuals who would take political offices and help change this nation back to our roots, that we believe in God. Father, I ask a blessing upon every individual here, that they would understand that in Christ they are truly free, no matter what situation they're going through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.